Well, hello, fellow baseball nuts, or should that be fellow fantasy baseball nuts? Big welcome to the Johnny and Josh Extra Show as we focus on fantasy baseball. And what a thrill for me to invite a friend of mine who, in my eyes, is the greatest fantasy baseball player I've ever come across, Mr. James Holden. Jimbo, welcome to the Johnny and Josh Show.
Thank you, JG. That's very kind. Slightly overplayed, but...
At all, mate. I need to tell our listeners, I've been playing fantasy baseball. Everybody knows I'm obsessed about it for the last 15, 20 years. I have like five teams a year. My theory being, you throw enough mud at it, something will eventually stick. I've won one league in all that team. So I'm about 1 for 100 is my batting average. You, mate, you won the double last year in the two big leagues that I'm involved in. You won both. You win leagues for fun. And yet, you're not a professional fantasy baseball scout. What on earth is going on, mate?
No, but this is about how we can help you win many leagues, Johnny, this year.
So you're not a miracle worker, Jim. You're not a miracle worker. You are an analyst.
I will do my best. Yes, I am. So, I mean, I would say for me, I mean, I've always been a sport lover, but for me, it's always been about the stats. So at school, yeah, I was the guy who did want to be the scorer for the cricket team. You know, Christmas every year was that big, hefty Rothmans football annual, the big sort of dark blue tomb that that was me. And now, yeah, for a job, you know, my job is to analyze data. I look at human behavior, I look at enormous amounts of media consumption and find trends on it. I work for the BBC, and that is my job, is
you work for
look
auntie,
for patterns
mate.
In data. I do.
You work for auntie, that's all you've got to say. You're a numbers man. You were born to be a fantasy baseball legend, and you are, and I'm so grateful for you for coming on and helping us out. That is absolutely top draw. Love it. So
my
let's
pleasure.
Focus first of all on the obvious. This is not a normal season. Is that going to be therefore not a normal fantasy baseball season? I'm talking about obviously a 60 game season rather than 162.
I think to some extent, I mean, you know, your good players are still the good players. It doesn't, I think, make enormous amounts of changes to who you draft. You know, most of the top 10, top 20 players are not vastly different. I think the key for me is that this is like playing in a league to sort of middle or late May. You've got much less time to make changes. So you're going to have to make decisions quick. If you remember last year, something like Jose Ramirez, you know, the first half of the season, he was awful.
Don't remind me. I've got him in two of my teams this year.
This year, I'm sure it'll be different this year, but what you don't have is that time to wait half the season. In a nine-week season, you've got to be making decisions pretty quickly. And the flip side, however, of course, is that, you know, you can catch lightning in a bottle much more often. And, you know, there are always players going on a two-week hot streak. You need to be able to snap, pick them up and run with them. Get four or five of those across your 8-9-week season and you're going to win your league.
Okay, now you've got unequal schedules as well. This whole idea of the East only playing the East in the American League National League, what sort of impact is that going to have?
I think this actually might have quite a significant impact. You've got some very different kind of environments for different players to hit in. So if you know, the East, for example, we talked about some fantastic hitters parks. So suddenly, if you are a National League team, the Braves, the Nats, the Phillies, the Mets, or the Marlins, you've got a hell of a lot of games in Baltimore, fantastic place to hit. Yankee Stadium is a good place to hit. Red Sox at Fenway is a great place to hit. So you've got a whole lot of advantages. And yeah, I would be filling up on hitters in those parks, and likewise the American League have got some potentially easier options with the Marlins. Flip side, if I was looking for pitchers, the Central, I think, is somewhere you'd always want to go. You've got a number of teams, particularly the Detroit and Kansas, likely to not do brilliantly this season. Pittsburgh, don't know how good they're going to be. That's where I think you'll find quite a few cheap wins, and it boosts padding to your starting pitchers figures.
And how do you approach the COVID issue? I mean, beyond the awfulness of it and people's whole lives being impacted and people losing their lives to COVID, from a fantasy baseball perspective, do you have to make allowance for that in terms of the inevitability of players going on the sort of COVID DL?
I think you just mentioned the perfect word, the inevitability. It's going to happen. Hopefully not with enormous frequency, but it's already happened. You know, we lost Juan Soto on the first day of the season.
Yeah.
There will be more. The poor Atlanta Braves have lost both of their starting catcher tandem on the first day. So there will be more. The key, identify potential pickups on the waiver wire. Either if you've got deep benches, make sure you've got cover for every single position, or make sure on the waiver wire you've identified 3 to 5 players you can pick up instantly as soon as that dreaded red cross appears on your screen. So you know, you don't want to be spending 2 or 3 hours identifying who you want to pick up. You've got to have them ready.
Because one of the other rule changes, this universal DH, suddenly National League players being allowed to play on the DH. What impact is that? And if you've got any examples that maybe you can pinpoint as players that you might have an increased interest in?
Yeah, I mean, I think the DH, I mean, I never love a DH if they clog up your utility spot. I mean, people like Nelson Cruz always are very undervalued in drafts precisely because of that reason. But as you say, I think the interesting area this year is National League players having the DH, and you're getting a lot of players that maybe wouldn't have played every day when drafts are originally done and now will. If I had to pick out one, I'd say Justin Smoke of the Milwaukee Brewers is very interesting. Only 2 years ago, he had a brilliant season for Toronto. He also started really strong that year. Last year wasn't so good. This year, you know, he is going to play a lot more with a DH. He's a lefty, so he's only going to play. He's not going to play against lefties. But Miller Park is a fantastic place to be a hitter. He already got a home run on Saturday night. I think he's in for a really good season and owned in just 8% of leagues at the moment.
Yeah, because I was looking at Cespedes as well from the Mets. He's batting cleanup. I think he's already had one home run. And, you know, he's been, you know, he's very old and very injury prone. But he's definitely something I think in a 2 month season at the height of summer, that could be a big, big pickup. Let's focus away from the old guys, the old washed up, injured guys like me. And let's focus on the young, the youth, like your good self. Players that perhaps may have been sitting out in the minors for a number of months and only brought up late on. COVID's going to have an impact there.
Yeah, I think it will. I think it's, I mean, we've got 30, you've got 30 player rosters. You've got these taxi squads of people moving in, and there's going to be a whole host of names who'll come in and play baseball this year, and thus will be part of the fantasy scene who we won't have thought of. So yeah, you're going to have to be flexible. You're going to have to just think much broader than you might have done originally about who's there. I mean, we're already going to see this weekend, you know, a number of young players coming up. So normally teams have to wait 5 or 6 weeks for somebody to get that extra year of control. This year it's only a week. You wanted two players, I think you're going to see Dylan Carlson up in the middle of this week, and you're going to see Nick Madrigal up this week again for the White Sox. And if you need speed, Madrigal is absolutely a player I would go for.
Nate Pearson, that's a name that I've heard bandied about. Is he in a part of that idea?
Yeah, I think if you wanted two pitchers to pick up this week, I think Nate Pearson, he's already quite highly owned, about 25% owned in the ESPN leagues. He'll get you a boatload of strikeouts, but again, he is playing in the East, it's quite tricky. The one I actually really like is Spencer Howard of the Phillies, only 5% owned. I think he's got fantastic potential, and that's somebody I've been looking really, really strong at.
Can I just ask as well, I mean, obviously, you know, you haven't played professional baseball as I haven't, but do you think that there's going to be less pressure on these players than there would otherwise be in a more traditional season, just because of the unique nature of what we're all enduring?
I think different people will thrive in different kind of environments. I mean, it's you know, there's no crowds in the stadium. Some players are going to get off on that. Other players actually going to find it pleasantly calm. As I say, I'm a numbers guy. I just look at the stats. I just look at the data. I don't worry too much about what's driving it. And you know, I'm very ambivalent. I like to have a few players on my team that I like. But beyond that, I'm just going to be looking, you know, like I'll be looking at the schedules next week. I can see, you know, the Padres are off to cause a few days after that. The Giants are off to cause to play Colorado. You're not telling me, whatever league you're in, that there are not some San Diego Padres and some San Francisco Giants who are unowned in your league next weekend. They should be on your team.
Okay, you say you're a numbers man, and I'm looking behind you at your study where we're recording this, and obviously for the sake of our listeners who can't see this, we've got an Atlanta Braves shirt, good for you, son, loving that, and an Oakland Raiders shirt. You're not a numbers man? You've got to go back about 30 years from when those two teams were last successful.
Oh, that was my childhood there, JG, you see. Those are the days.
You do have a heart. It's not all just about the cold fragility of numbers and stats.
No. I always make sure every team I have, you've got to wake up in the morning and want to look at the stats and go, yeah, that is somebody I actually like to. Absolutely.
You've always warned me about the danger in a regular season of low-owned pitchers. There's a reason they are low-owned in terms of percentage pickup. Is that different this year? Is that very much you should be out there streaming on a daily basis?
I think it depends on your league. I mean, I'd say two things. I'd say one, the traditional gap, whilst I'm not somebody who loves paying big money for top starters, a lot of what you'd be paying in a normal season, you know, with your Scherzers, with your Coles, is that they're going to go over 200 innings. They're going to get you, you know, towards 300, if not over 300 strikeouts. And they really separate themselves from the pack in that way. But when the league is coming back down to only 60 games, actually that lead is much, much less. So I would not be paying, particularly this year, out money for big starters. Secondly, I'd say every year, you and I have played every year, there are always starters that emerge, and there will be this year. Potentially this weekend, we've already seen the breakout of Sandy Alcantara of Miami. Interesting to see his growth this season. I think people should just be patient. I mean, I am monitoring, for what it's worth, Griffin Canning, Corbin Burns, even Vince Velasquez, who teases us every year. Apparently, he's got a new pitch. I mean, to me, I'm looking at those guys. I might pick them up, leave them on my bench, see how they get on in their first start. But one of those guys is going to go on and do what Lucas Giolito did last year. Or maybe not one of those guys, but there is two or three people who are going to go on and be a top 30 pitcher who, you know, were not even the top 60, 70, 80 at the beginning of the season.
Okay, those are starters. What about relievers? Have you got any names you could throw into the mix?
If you want a real Hail Mary, I'll give you a Hail Mary.
I love a Hail Mary. Go with a Hail Mary.
Okay, I'll give you one each. So if you want a Hail Mary for pitchers, let's move away from starters. I'll give you a reliever. A guy I really like this year is Trevor Rosenthal of Kansas City. Owned in a massive 0.5% of ESPN leagues. I think he will be closing for Kansas City very, very soon. He was a former favourite of Mike Matheny when he was managing in St. Louis. He's got great pedigree, been out for 3 or 4 years. If he suddenly got it back, really good. If you want one on the hitting side of things, again, owned in less than 1% leagues, Bradley Zimmer of the Cleveland Indians.
Wow.
Former top prospect, fantastic speed, come from nowhere and was in the lineup last night.
Okay, fantastic. I love a Hail Mary. Luck's always been a big part of fantasy baseball season. You're always lucky, and the fact that you're always lucky proves it's not luck. How big an impact is luck going to have on this COVID season?
It always is a factor. I mean, I think people don't realize. I mean, you know, you do your research, and I spend a lot of time consuming information from a lot of experts on social media, on websites, on podcasts, etc. But more so than ever, I mean, you know, you've got to draft well. You've got to pick up players who get hot. You need to get lucky on injuries, and this year on COVID. And then, you just need to have players on a career year. But, I mean, I would say to you, and I would say to every listener out there, if you haven't won a league before, this is the year. This really is the year. It's so, you know, there is so much randomness. It's so much shorter. You've just got to hold it together for eight weeks.
But Jimbo, if I do win a league this season, everybody's just going to put an asterisk on it and say it doesn't really count because it's a 60 game.
Honestly, I'm afraid they probably are. But it will always live on in your memory.
Absolutely, mate. Absolutely. Okay, Jimbo, well, that's my season just destroyed then if there is a massive luck issue, because I'm a jinx, as we all know, a baseball jinx. But I'm now going to make you put your reputation on the line. I want the head on the block time. I want you to come up with a handful of names of players that you think are going to be those breakout superstars. And I'm not just talking about ones going into the top 20. I'm talking about players maybe going from the top 200, top 100, 100, top 20, whatever. I want some names, specifics. Come on, Jimbo. This is your reputation on the line.
Good. Okay. That's it. Fine. I'm pretty confident with a couple of these. So if you want a player who's currently going in the top 25, possibly even top 30, and who I think will definitely be a top 10 player next year, Rafael Devers of the Boston Red Sox.
Boston Red Sox, batting third. Yep, absolutely.
Brilliant player, young, ready to break out. Good lineup, great place to hit. Slightly further afield, top 100 player who I think you'll be paying a top 30 price for next year, Yoan Moncada, somebody White Sox, number two, former very, very top prospect, again, ready to break out in a really strong White Sox lineup. He is somebody I have everywhere.
Okay, fine. Anyone else? Maybe a pitcher?
Okay. Go on then, if you were a bit further afield. So if I pick a couple of people, you know I like a young pitcher. I'm always looking for, again, opportunity, how we can kind of, you know, somebody is going to move up. This season, you know, thinking about all those things that we've talked about how, you know, top pitchers, I'm not sure they're worth paying as much for this season. It's a much shorter season, much more truncated. Two people I think are being criminally underrated, Zach Gallen of the Diamondbacks, Julio Urias, of the Los Angeles Dodgers. Both of those guys, I think, the potential to turn in a top 20 starting pitcher season this year and every season going forward.
Well, I'm so looking forward to the end of the season. We can rewind, we can see how they did, and we can put your reputation to the test. Jumbo, it's been absolutely brilliant. Thank you so much for giving up your time and joining us here on the Johnny and Josh Show. You are a great mate, but you're an even better fantasy baseball player. You're a legend, buddy. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
My pleasure, my pleasure. Chat to you soon, Johnny.
Look forward to it. There you have it, our first and first ever fantasy baseball slot in the capable hands of the fantasy baseball legend that is James Holden, BBC analyst supremo. My name's Johnny Gould. This is the Johnny and Josh Show. We look forward to having your company in the very near future.